Morning, everyone. I'm so glad you all made it. So this is the day before Mother's Basmati Day. Convenient day. We're still going to meet out at the gravesite tomorrow also. At what time, Kate?
11.
At 11 o'clock. A.M. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Blessed Master.
Dearest Mother.
Beloved David. Saints and sages of all religions.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles. And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple. Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Some of this came from Master, but most of this came from her. Do we know, or it would be a good research project?
Some of it's by Master.
You know, that Zach and Haley said that they do peace, they don't have the bliss.
Yeah, that's a pretty good place to start. Bible reading today is Matthew chapter 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field, to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. So we have a lot of readings to do today, so we won't prepare any other readings. I'm sure we'll get enough of that. So much to talk about. It's striking to me, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again, that we only started this book after David's passing. To have it done now is really, really wonderful. It's got so many hours of work, mostly from Kate, but from many others too, and necessary hours put in by others, really necessary to make sure that we got Mother's message accurately. It's 130-odd pages, very short. And what does that mean? Well, it's definitely true. There's so much to pull from with Mother's teachings. But we were focused on just the crucifixion. We had many exemplars of Mother talking about each facet. And we chose one. Kate chose one, typically. And sometimes it's repeated. We'll see some magnification of the of a given topic shown in different ways in different chapters. And Mother will digress a lot of times and fill in details. And sometimes that she doesn't show it all in the same conversation, the same talk that she gives. So we resisted initially, and David and I talked about this quite a bit over the years too. We wanted to just have one of Mother's talks, you know, in total and as much as we could. And we ended up not the other extreme, but we certainly recognized, we knew what Mother was saying. We had to decide, were we qualified to know what Mother was saying? Doesn't mean we knew exactly what she was meaning, precisely. But we knew what she was saying. We heard it so many times. So it relied upon our knowledge and our memories of Mother's emphasis and what she was trying to say to steer. Even passages that don't end in a sentence, oftentimes you know where she's going, or she gets diverted, or a digression occurs. So we ended up tacking sometimes a single sentence from another talk. Mostly we didn't do that, but I want you to know that it clearly is a work that is difficult to do. And it's been done. Lorraine Sinclair did it for Joel Goldsmith. I think we talked about this before. And it certainly happened with Ernest Holmes' Science of Mind and the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary stuff. I forget who that was, if that was Ernest Holmes. But those kinds of books are put together from conversation, from talks like that. So this is it's a process that's been done many times in the past. And there's lots of things that are variations that could be done in a different way. So as mostly what we're, our generation needs to do with Mother's and David's work is get it out there and have it be accurate as possible. So many other books can be written by threading through the Mother's talks for a different reason. Now, we have a few other books planned, and so we will be doing a lot of that. We'll be mining that database, to use a modern term. And there's much can be put together. I think I mentioned before too that I'm reading this book of a word by word translation of Ramakrishna's book, Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. And in there, the one that Nikalananda did that most people have read was done differently. It was actually compiled from those notes that Master Mahasi took, whereas this the larger version has a lot of extraneous information in it, and sometimes a tedious read for that reason. Mostly it's not, because he's such a surprising person. Well, Mother is surprising throughout, especially on this topic of the mystical crucifixion. She really lived it. She really kept it first and foremost in our minds. She would not let this go. I know we've heard over the years people talk about joining this group, and typically a spouse, but other people too, who say, well, I just have no interest in something that's that what we call it depressing, but certainly something that's very, very difficult to go through. And killing the ego is difficult to do, and it's a difficult process. So Mother was insistent that it be brought up in almost every talk she gave. She talked about it or gave some comment about that experience of hers. It was a long experience she went through. It climaxed in, the big climax physically was in India, but there was many years to go through after that. So these teachings are different than almost anybody else's teachings, even different than David's. Mother and David, you know, it's funny, David never tried to improve on Mother's take on these things. He went through so much of it himself. Excuse me, but it is interesting. He said over the years many times, it's Mother's story to tell. It has to be told by Mother. And that's why all of these talks were created and kept going and kept alive. We have 1960s tapes that still, Mother's voice is so clear, and of course others that are not, but it's still amazing to me how long these talks have lasted and how good quality they are. So Mother really had a mission that was so different. I think she must have known that what she was teaching wasn't for everyone, and it was, she deliberately made it difficult for people in the sense that she wouldn't sway that from that. She wouldn't tell people sweet, sugary tales, although she could do so. She was certainly, the state that she attained, she talked about in very sweet and loving terms and with full knowledge. So there was much hope that she projected. Always, if you listen to her talks, she always has an uplift at the end. And again, I don't notice the words that she's saying and the concepts that she's talking about, or if it is the Shakti, because it's so universal in her talks. There is a spirit that you enter into with this, that Mother projects into the world, and you can still ride that spirit. And the talk has a cadence to it. And there's a beginning and the middle and the end. The end always ends up in this very uplifted, very sweet state that she lived in. God explained something this morning to me that, you know, the expression of the human being into the body starts up in the head, and it goes down to the through the spine and lights up each of the spinal centers as the soul enters into the body, the physical body. And so we really do need to know more about how the body is created and how the body is designed to be folded up, and how the ego itself is part of this travel of energy. The circuit we talk about, the mother talks about, is the body, the soul comes into the body, and mother says the mouth of God is the madoba at the back of the head. And that's where God's energy comes in. But she also talked about the head or the brain being the root ball of the tree of life that extends downward into the body. We always talk about trying to get out of the lower centers into the upper centers. But it was clear from what was shown this morning that it is, we are all come from a pure spirit. And so we have to, at one time, maybe in other incarnations, explore this body and create the very cells of the body through the expression of the soul this way. And it does it by going down through the spine. If you think about how a child grows, they really are completely combined, contained within the womb. Their arms are kept against their body. Their legs are folded up. And they really live in their mind only. They don't have claustrophobia. And they, in fact, babies when they're little, like to be wrapped very tightly. And it actually soothes them to be wrapped tightly. So the expression comes down through the body, the expression of the physical body, the desire to go and to play in this world. And it ends in the bottom chakra, the sexual chakra, which then creates more, which is the means by which God creates other souls, or creates the bodily temples for souls to enter. But there's at each of the spinal centers, there's an expression and something given out into the world. And if you think a child goes through this, they does it not. Don't we all love babies by just looking at them? We can gaze at them so much. And is this possibly because they're in their upper centers? And then they move into the lower centers and they see beyond. Now they're very narcissistic, so there's an element of the ego that's associated with the physical ego being newly born and really being precious and really desiring only to have that expression in the self. Because that's, as Mother always said, you need a strong sense of self. You want a strong ego to go through in order to get through the crucifixion and to go all the way and to go over the top. But eventually the energy moves down through the body. You're able to walk. You're able to talk. You're able to move. And then eventually you have the ability to have an expression of will and to balance that with the heart center. And then finally, you get into puberty at the age of 12 to 15. And you then have that whole life expectancy associated with sex and children and spouse and family. So it's a strange thing, but it is. I mean, family is really such a source of solace in this world. And it's such a place for the ego to grow and express itself. And then the ego, correctly trained from that point, if it takes many incarnations, of course, is the thing that mothers the teachings from the East bring to this story. We don't think we can do this all in one lifetime. Although I have to point out that Mother did stress that the angels do have to come into one bodily existence at least once to gain their full realization. Otherwise, they stay in the angelic realms and don't have the means to go beyond, to go back up into the higher realms, beyond the causal. So this crucifixion that Mother talks about really is the final one, is the one of the Christ. And this is the two thieves on each side of the eyes, Mount of Olives, all of that, all takes in the skull, the Mount of Golgotha. And so the picture that's on the front of the book is done by Honor Balaguerra and has the three crosses. And this is the place that we are left with nothing. We only have a barren world, and it's illuminated by the possibilities up above. And also in this painting, and if you can see a better copy of it, there's a crypt at the lower right center. And the stone is rolled in front of the crypt because the crucifixion is the means by which you enter that crypt. And the crypt, part of the crucifixion experience is being in that crypt and going into the lower centers and into the hell of our own being. Why the focus on the crucifixion, though? The crucifixion is a doorway to the upper, the final going over the top. It's emblematic in the heart center because it happens at the heart center in the Gordian knot. And we first experienced that Gordian knot in the first major experience and certainly the most physically difficult experience. For myself, the solar plexus was really, really painful for at least a year or two. And then it manifested into the heart center. And the heart center was like being stabbed with a spear. And at the same time, because that solar plexus was so active, I had both the solar plexus and the heart center with this literally like a spear or a sword piercing it. And it lasted for quite some time. So that's the crucifixion that people talk about in the physical sense. It shows Jesus dying on the cross. That's his physical body. But Jesus represents the ego, the death of the ego, and the process by which the death of the ego occurs. And that is a threefold experience. And so there's two other centers to go through. And the one that's being depicted symbolically here with the three crosses is the one in Golgotha. And that's the one. It's the final one. Mother says in this book, you'll see, it's kind of surprising me to hear explained so clearly that is the true second birth. We talk about the second birth of being aware of God, and that is being baptized in the Spirit of God. And all of those things are true. But Mother says the true, real second birth, by which you then can choose to come back into the realm, as a bodhisattva, the Buddha talked about the bodhisattva vow, Buddhists do. And this is the thing the Mother and Master took and stayed in the world and brought this teaching back down to the world. But the crucifixion inside the skull is the great goal that we can never teach very well from a plane below that. Papa said you can do no good until you're realized. And then David said, that's true, but that you also have partial, you can do some good at different stages of realization. Meher Baba said that gurus should only operate at the minimum from the fifth of the center. So being a teacher of that sort and taking on disciples should only be done when you've gone through the fifth center, which is associated with speech, but it has other aspects too. The subtle mind. And entry and mastery over the astral plane. They often think, why am I still on this path over the years? It started when I was first with Mother. Because there's an assessment that's done, a reassessment constant. And you're not really anything but an ideologue if you don't have some, not necessarily doubts, but just assessment what it is we're about. And I think it all, for me personally, it always comes down to the sacrifice that I witnessed Mother go through. And this is before what happened to her in 1983, and she went into the nursing home and all that, which was another. For me, that was a continuation of something I'd already learned. So it didn't really shock me as much as others. I saw the sacrifice that Mother did coming to church every day, every year, twice a week. And the energy she would expend on each person, the energy she gave. And you could feel it. I remember distinctly this, many things happened when I was first with it, but I put in my application for Boeing in 1980. And I literally felt her thoughts on me. And throughout that month and a half before I got the letter saying that coming on February 1st, from 1980 to start the job. But I remember so distinctly that certainty that I had, and it stuck with me. I think many times you have experiences with a teacher of the stature of David and Mother. You look back and you really wonder, did that really happen? You really wonder, can those things be real? But that really stuck with me. It became so alive. And when it bore fruit, of course, I got the job. I was completely unsurprised on one level because I felt Mother's thoughts on me. I think she was so proud. And she'd given up so much to be there. I took it personally. You know, I've said this before, but Mother felt that Papa's coming to America in his all Western tour. She said, in many respects, he didn't do much else. But, you know, she said, I always felt that he had come just for me. I think we all feel that way. You know, that she did something special for us. Doesn't matter whether we're watching other things like that. She did something special for each one of us. It's what brings people back to. I don't think we'll do a closing prayer. I think we'll just go into some chanting for a while. And then at 12 o'clock, we'll start.